Well, let us now turn to our scripture reading for this afternoon. You'll find it in the New Testament, Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians, and the 5th chapter. And this afternoon, I'm going to be focusing our attention on the words of verse 23 and 24. Paul's wonderful prayer on behalf of the believers in the church of Thessalonica, which he prays for their sanctification, but also reminds them of the faithfulness of the one who has called them into union with himself, and so who will complete the work that he has begun to do in them. But let us read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning at verse 1, and let us give our undivided attention to the reading of God's own holy, infallible, inspired, inerrant word. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursues what is good both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophecies, test all things, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. O congregation, if you open your Bibles once again to the chapter we read earlier, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. As I intimated, we want to meditate for a short while on the words that we find in verses 23 and 24 of this chapter. And so we'll read these words, Paul's prayer, the expression of his heart's desire for these believers in this church. And he says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it." Well, congregation, brothers and sisters, as I say, this afternoon I want to look at with you at this wonderful, heartfelt, passionate prayer of the Apostle Paul that we just read, which he offered up to God on behalf of the believers in the church at Thessalonica. a church which had been recently planted by Paul and was still in the early stages of its development. And so he is writing to them here to express the great desire that is in his heart for them, his desire to see them go on to maturity in Christ, to see them becoming more and more sanctified in him, and that they would be preserved blameless at his coming. And friends, as your pastor, that is my greatest desire for every one of you also. It's my desire for you, Joshua, also Tamara and Emma and all of you. For my own heartfelt prayer for each of you, regardless of what stage you may be at in your walk with God, is to see you becoming more and more holy so that you may grow up into Christ in all things, who is the head of his body, the church, as Paul says elsewhere in Ephesians chapter 4. And so I want to look with you at this prayer of Paul here in these verses, for it really gives us a short course in sanctification, and it highlights God's plan for every believer regarding their sanctification. And as we look at it together, I want you to notice three things which our attention is being drawn to in these verses. Firstly, the source of our sanctification. Then, secondly, the scope of our sanctification. And then, finally, the security of our sanctification. So, firstly, the scope, the source, sorry, of our sanctification. Secondly, the scope of our sanctification. And finally, the security of our sanctification. Let us begin then by considering in the first place what these verses tell us here about the source of our sanctification. For notice how Paul begins this prayer. He says in the opening words of verse 23, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely." For you see, Paul knew that God himself is the source of all true sanctification in the lives of his people. One of God's covenantal names is Jehovah Makedesh, the Lord who sanctifies. And sanctification is the work of God himself then. That's why Paul directs his prayer to God here for the ongoing sanctification of these new believers in Thessalonica. But not only that, but Paul also knew that God's greatest desire for his people is to see them becoming more and more sanctifying. For as Paul wrote earlier in verses 3 and 7 of chapter 4 of this same epistle, he says there, "This is the will of God, your sanctification. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but to holiness," or to sanctification. And God is the source of an author of our sanctification then. Because you see, his heart's desire for us as his people is that we would be sanctified. Now, of course, that raises the question as to what exactly we mean when we are speaking here about sanctification. What are we talking about when we say that God's will for us is that we would be sanctified completely? Well, in order to understand what Paul is referring to here, we need to remember there are three aspects of sanctification which are identified for us in the Bible. And the first of these is what we call positional or past sanctification. And that simply refers to what has already been accomplished for us at the moment of our salvation when we were first justified in Christ. You see, whenever a person is savingly united to the Lord Jesus by faith, at that very moment they are delivered from the penalty of their sin. They are clothed at that moment with the perfect righteousness of Christ. And they are now given a new nature in Christ, and thus set free from the dominion and reign of sin and death. And that is a one-time event never to be repeated. And it places the believer in a new position or standing with God, whereby they are now accepted with him because of Christ. But then, because that event has taken place in the experience of the believer, They are now in the process of experiencing what we call progressive or present sanctification. And this aspect of sanctification, it deals with present Christian living. You see, it involves the process in which believers are now called to work out the implications of their salvation and their new position or standing in Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit who has been given to them and who has now come to take up residence in their hearts for the express purpose of making them a holy people. A people who are like Christ, who are now set apart in Him for the will and purposes of God, to obey God, to do His bidding, so that His will can be done in them and through them here on earth, just as it is in heaven. You see, friends, that's the basic meaning of the word sanctify. It refers to the work of God in setting someone apart to consecrate or dedicate them for His own purposes so that He can now freely work in them, both to will and to act, in order to fulfill His good purposes and pleasure. But then the Bible also speaks about a third aspect of sanctification which follows upon these two preceding aspects of positional and progressive sanctification. And that's what we can call perfect or future sanctification. That's the time every believer longs for. They look forward to when they will be completely glorified with Christ that is coming, made altogether free from the power and presence of sin forever. For you see, at that moment they will have been completely renewed and transformed in body, soul and spirit and made perfect in holiness. Well, these are the three aspects of sanctification which the Bible speaks about then. But it is the second of these which Paul is primarily concerned about here. In this prayer, he's offering up to God with a view to the perfect or final state we will enjoy when Christ returns. You see, his passionate prayer for these Thessalonians is that the ongoing work of God in their hearts by His Spirit, and by His Spirit they would be progressively conformed more and more to holiness and Christ-likeness of character and life. Because it's only as that takes place that God's will can be done here on earth and worked out in and through His people as they do await the coming of their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And you see, God is the source and author of our sanctification in Christ. He deliberately chose us in Christ to that very end. For as Paul says in verse 4 of Ephesians chapter 1, God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. But why? That we should be holy and without blame before Him. And again, Peter says in the opening verse of 1 Peter chapter 1, believers were chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit, or by the setting apart, dedicating work of the Spirit for the purpose of obedience to the will of God. And God is the author and source of our salvation then. He chose us with a view to making us completely holy. And that is His greatest concern and focus then in all that He does in the lives of each of His people. Because He is working in and through all things to see that that end comes about. And friends, if God is so committed to this goal of sanctification in our lives, then surely we ought to be also, if we are His people, should we not? And friends, think of how much it must pain God then when we do fail to align our will and our purposes with His by not making this the great aim of our lives of becoming more and more sanctified and holy through Christ. Well, God is the source of our sanctification then, for he's the one who has set us apart in Christ for himself. He's the one who has willed our sanctification, and he is the one who has come to now work within us to bring it about. But the sanctification which God has in mind, it's not a shallow, superficial, partial kind of sanctification. It is a comprehensive sanctification. That's what I want to focus on in the second place then, by looking at the scope of our sanctification. For Paul goes on here in this prayer in verse 23 to express his desire that God himself would sanctify these believers completely, so that their whole spirit, soul and body might be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the word that is translated here is completely, it's a word which can be translated as it is in some translations as through and through, because it's a compound word in the original language. It comes from two Greek words. The word holos, from which we get the word holistic, meaning total or complete. And the word telos, which means the end. And thus this word, which is used here, only here in the New Testament, it signifies the doing of something completely and entirely, along with the idea of carrying it through to the end or finish. And what Paul is praying for then here is for the complete and total sanctification of these believers, so that they would reach the full end or goal for which they have been saved. You see, God's purpose in redeeming them for a people to himself is so that they would finally be presented to him in the entirety of their being, inwardly and outwardly, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that they should be holy and utterly without blemish at the coming of Jesus Christ. And friends, God is working to bring that about then. And it is a work which he has already begun in the lives of his people here in the present. For remember, we said Paul is primarily speaking here in these verses about progressive or present sanctification. Because you see, God wants his people to live a holy life through and through in the here and now, not just in the sweet by and by. And that's what God wants to bring about in the lives of each of those who've made public confession of their faith here today. That's his desire in the lives of all of us who've made confession of faith at some point in the past also. And moreover, that is what we are confessing to want to see realized in our own lives by actually making confession. Because when we make confession of faith, we are confessing that it is our heartfelt desire by the power of the Holy Spirit to love the Lord our God, to serve him according to his word, to manifest ourselves, to be faithful members of the church of Christ, to contribute to the upbuilding of his church and to confess his name in the world. And friends, the only way we can hope to do any of those things is if we are earnestly pursuing holiness and submitting ourselves to the work of God's Spirit in our hearts to sanctify us and make us completely holy. That's why all those who name the name of Christ or who confess his name are called by God in verses 19 and 21 of 2 Timothy chapter 2 to depart from iniquity, so that they might increasingly become vessels fit for God's will and purposes as those who are sanctified and set apart as holy and useful for their master, ready for every good work. And friends, if you and I are sincere and earnest in our confession, we are earnest about doing the will of God then, and we are determined to keep the solemn promises that we have made in our confession before God and many witnesses, then we must take very seriously the call of God on our lives to be and become what we are called to be. Those who are set apart unto God in body, in soul and in spirit, to be holy and without blame before Him. But you see, we must never forget. We have been bought with a price. And so we now belong to God in the entirety of our beings, to now glorify Him in our body and in our spirits, which are His. And that means then no part of our lives should be lacking in consecration to God and to holiness then. There should be no corners of our lives that are now off limits to God. Because God's will is that the sanctifying work of His Spirit, it will extend to every part of our being, leaving no area whatsoever untouched or unaffected or unchanged. Because God wants to sanctify us through and through, completely and entirely. And yes, none of us have attained to full sanctification ever in every area of our lives. I realize that. But nevertheless, our heartfelt desire, by the power of the Holy Spirit, as those who are now alive from the dead, should be to constantly press toward that mark or goal in all that we do until it is finally realized in our experience. Because God now expects nothing less from us than that we should now go on day by day to pursue after holiness by now presenting our members to Him as the instruments or servants of righteousness, unto sanctification or holiness, not as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, as Paul writes in verses 13 and 19 of Romans chapter 6. Because that's the only reasonable, it's the only rational service we now owe to God of those who've been redeemed by Him. And friends, we're only robbing God of the honor, the glory, the love that we owe Him when we do not go on to obey Him in this way. Because you see, our calling as confessing Christians is now to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God, as we read in verse 1 of 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And we are called to now go on in our walk with God by working out our salvation with fear and trembling, by actively pursuing spiritual maturity, by seeking to avoid everything and anything that might offend God or discredit the name of Christ that we confess and from which we would seek to shrink back on the day of the Lord Jesus. And we are now to yield ourselves completely to God, to effectively work in His will in us, to will and do what is pleasing to Him. Well, friends, God has loved us. He has chosen us and called us to Himself in Christ then, so that we would be sanctified completely and preserved blameless or without fault or blemish at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. For that is God's desire for all of His children. And He will not stop short of seeing that desire implemented in the lives of any one of them. And it's God's intention to see to it then that His ultimate purpose in setting us apart to Himself, if we are His children, is finally brought about in your experience and mine also. Which is why Paul goes on to say in verse 24, He who calls us is faithful, who also will do it. And that brings us to consider briefly in the last place then the security of our sanctification. You see, these words are meant to be a wonderful reminder to us of the fact that God has fully committed Himself to this work of total sanctification in the lives of all of His people. And so if we are in Christ, we can rest assured then, as Paul writes elsewhere in verse 6 of Philippians chapter 1, He who has begun a good work in us, He will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. because God will continue to watch over us, to preserve us, to keep us in life as his precious blood-bought people. And he will go on chipping away at us, doing whatever it takes to transform us into his own image and likeness, until at last we are completely glorified with Christ that is coming, made perfect in holiness forever. And yes, this work may well be incomplete at present. A child of God, you must always remember you are a work in progress. And you are still under construction in this life then. And you may not yet see the finished product that God has in his mind, which you will yet become in his own time. But rest assured, God is not done with you yet. You see, just as a sculptor, they look at a block of marble, and they see not what it is, but what it could be. So God is looking at you in Christ, and he sees not what you presently are, but what he knows you can be and you will yet be once he's finally finished with you. For you see, God sees the work that he's aiming to produce. And so he's going to go on working in and through all things in your life to use whatever means and methods are necessary to chip away all of those things in your life that are not of God and that are not like Christ. Until at last all that remains is the perfect, flawless work of his own hands. For my dear friend, God will never forsake the work of his hands. And so he will go on patiently working with you and in you to ensure that you will yet be presented to him without any defects in body, soul, or spirit. And so, child of God, you are to keep that end, the end that God has in view before your eyes then. You're to keep on pressing on in your walk with him, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for you, that he might redeem and purify you for God himself, as it says in verse 14 of Titus chapter 2. You see, on that day, when Christ returns to this earth for a second time, this glorious assurance that God gives you here, it will be fully realized. For as Paul says, the God of peace himself, the God who has already reconciled you to himself in Christ, and who has made you his beloved child, he is faithful. And so he also will do it. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we do thank you that you come to us through Jesus Christ. You come to redeem us, to sanctify us by the work and the power of your Holy Spirit, who has come to take up residence in our hearts. And what a wonder that ought to be to us when we consider what we know of our own hearts, that the one who is the Holy Spirit would indeed come and take up residence in a heart that is defiled and corrupted by sin, and yet he willingly and freely comes to continue the work that Christ has accomplished and secured on behalf of all of his children, to make them all that they can be, all that they are called to be, all that they will yet be through his work and through his power. And we pray then, Lord, that all of us would learn to work with you in your will and purposes, that it would be our heartfelt desire through the power of the Holy Spirit to be more and more conformed to the image and likeness of Jesus Christ, for it is your will that Christ would be the firstborn among many brethren, that an entire race of beings would come forth who are shaped and molded and fashioned into his image and likeness, who will dwell with him forever in the new heavens and the new earth, where they will walk with you, they will enjoy fellowship and communion with you, having been completely cleansed from every spot and blemish and wrinkle, and made perfect in holiness. And we do pray that that would be our greatest desire, the longing of each of our hearts, for that day to break in our experience, when we will yet see Jesus Christ, when we will yet be fully like him. And we pray that we would learn to work with the Spirit, to walk in step with him in the present, that he might do the work that he has been sent to do, that we would not hinder him from working freely in our hearts, to cleanse us, to renew us inwardly day by day, to cause us to grow up into Christ in all things, to go on unto perfection. And we pray then, Lord, that we would walk with you in the week ahead, that we would seek in all things to yield to you, so that your will might be done in us and through us here on earth, just as it is in heaven above. Bless each of us, we pray. Go before us, lead us in the way everlasting. Wash us and cleanse us anew in that fountain that is open for sin and for uncleanness. And go before us, break up our way, direct our steps, and lead us forward in the way you would have us to go. We ask all of this in the precious and mighty name of our Saviour, the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.